Next normal, we study at home.
Normala budućnosti, obrazovanje iz doma.
How would you describe the recent situation from a student's point of view in 3 words?
Adjustment, motivation, as well as something new.
Challenging, underdeveloped, completely non-inclusive.
It's finally time to welcome you again to Next Normal, We Study at Home, and a new episode in which we are talking to students from Croatia about their recent study experiences and their ideas for the future. My name is Laura Eichbrecht, I work at the Cooperative State University Baden-Württemberg, and together with my colleague Patricia Bonodo, I'm always very excited to be able to talk to students from all over Europe about this exciting topic. Vaccinations are going on, infection rates are decreasing and increasing again, but something that hasn't changed yet is that higher education right now mostly takes place digitally. Actually, it's been that way for a year now. That's a long way to go and a lot of experience from students that we should take into account when it comes to opening up universities again and to seeing what could be a good future education for students. And for this today, we have great experts to talk to, Carla and Peggy from Croatia. And it seems like in the last year, all that happened was COVID and nothing much more happened. But Croatia was also struck by very strong earthquakes. The situation was very hard for all people and students. But we will see that it also showed the strength of student movement and engagement of students organizing themselves to cope with the situation. So let's talk to Peggy and Carla from Croatia.
My name is Karla Hršak. I am an undergraduate student at the Department of Biotechnology and Drug Research in Rijeka, Croatia. My colleagues and I were lucky enough to have some lectures online, but then again, we were able to improve our lab skills on site. And truth be told, I find that way much, much easier, especially when it comes to trying to learn something which is extremely important for my future education.
My name is Peggy Pavletic. I come from the city of Rijeka in Croatia, but I actually study my PhD in Italy at the University of Camerino, and it's in the field of medicinal chemistry. Literally 2 months into my PhD, I was kind of forced to go back home and to stop all my studies, and it's been going on like this ever since. So I get a few months to go home, then I'm back in the lab when the situation is a little bit better, but the entire situation, the entire protocol of us being able to come back, it's just really overwhelming because I think that the governments don't really pay attention to the needs of the students on the lower level. They're just making sure that the higher education is continuing, but they're not actually taking care of students as a whole. Except being a student, I am also an elected member of the Executive Committee of the European Students Union. And my field of expertise is actually quality assurance, but I also work on the topics such as academic integrity and brain drain.
Carla and Peggy have already told us 3 words to describe their recent study situation, and they will tell us a little bit more about it.
Quick adjustment was something that was extremely important. Truth be told, I'm not really good when it comes to self-motivation. I like to study in groups, and now when you are obliged basically to do everything, not necessarily on your own, but you have to be able to try and do something for yourself without someone being there right next to you saying, oh yeah, we'll do it together, no worries. And when I think of something new, that was definitely something I wasn't expecting any time in my life. As an undergraduate student, it is extremely important to get to know not only the entire assembly, but professors, your colleagues, everything is crucial when it comes to the right, let me put it this way, normal way of how a student functions on everyday basis, especially when you are on your own, you are young, you are in a new city. I have to admit that I'm quite proud, not only of myself, but also my friends, professors, my entire family, everyone who has been so supportive of me, trying to do their best to help me, to educate me, to make me feel better. You know, now I can say, I think I'm ready to continue this way, whether it's online, on site.
I see that the universities are creating a system that's effective but not necessarily the system which is, let's say, student-centered or modern or organized. Students in the past have said a lot of times, like, include digital education in higher education, make sure that the student-centered learning includes this whole entire digital dimension. And it's not something new, it's something that we have been discussing for the past years and years. And it was always being said, it's too complicated, we cannot do it, we cannot develop it. And suddenly COVID comes, and this is the only way in which we can organize classes, actually. And now we're in this parallel reality where all of the things that we wanted to implement now are implemented suddenly. But no one is actually questioning, do our professors have digital competencies? Do students actually prefer having these types of classes? Is there any way in which these digital classes can be organized differently? Like, this is what we are seeing at a lot of universities. They are used to, let's say, the comfort of teaching old style, and they're not actually willing to invest in something new to develop their knowledge. And this is why we often have pre-recorded material, some digital tasks, and it's a survey that we have done with the BFUG group. And the students say that they prefer face-to-face classes, even in a digital form. They want their professor to be there. This also demands the professor to be more actively engaged in this, because also the students say that their workload is higher in this digital era of learning. It's completely underdeveloped because everyone's just making sure that something's effective, but they're not actually making sure it's developed or it's completely student-oriented as the education probably should be. And when I say non-inclusive, I would have to say that also we have students who still in today's world don't have the access to internet, don't have the access to, I would say, also electricity. I mean, Croatia during the pandemic also had large earthquakes, and these students were completely unable to study. The universities did the adaptations that they were kind of forced into. This system is not being evaluated enough. It's really, really hard to tell what is the quality of education in this point in time, but I'm sure that we will get the opportunity to access it in the future a little bit more.
This reminded me of, for instance, my situation back at home. I am actually from Zagreb. When the first earthquake occurred, I basically live in the city center. Old buildings, really hard to invest into those buildings. I remember at that point, no electricity, no hot water, no heating. I was lucky enough that my sister lived a couple of blocks away, and I spent a month and a half studying there at her kitchen table, sleeping on her couch. One night, I received an email from one of my professors back then, who actually sent a lovely email asking me whether I needed help or not, because the University of Rijeka would be able to provide me with accommodation at one of the dorms. I ended up not accepting the offer because I was there with my family. And I simply have to say that that was something that made my day. When you all of a sudden are in that sort of situation where you are basically helpless, you feel as if you've been abandoned by everyone. To receive an email like that, which ended with the sentence saying something like this, everything will be okay, it melts my heart. This year was extremely challenging to know that there are people who are able to provide you with something, even though that things are not perfect, you can always rely on someone, and that's wonderful. Even though we are not provided, I repeat, we are not provided with everything we need, especially by the government, who keeps neglecting basically everything.
You already told us a little bit before about the subject of mental health. As you said, like, this situation is very challenging for everybody. But of course, you've had earthquakes happening. What do you think? Like, what could be done to help students? What could we learn for the subject of mental health for the future?
Even four of us now are experiencing some sort of either anxiety or emotions we weren't used to before. And I think we should normalize that. I mean, emotions are part of who we are. If you are unable to provide us with some sort of professional help, I mean, isn't that sad? When you look at the situation right now, you can't go anywhere. You can't socialize. You can't do things that sometimes would make you feel better. We are experiencing all sorts of emotions these days. I believe that universities as well as high schools, all forms of education should concentrate on that as well. Even after the pandemic, I strongly advise every single student to talk to someone, even if you might be feeling fine. It's not something to be ashamed of. I remember countless nights when my friends and I would Skype, and you know, we weren't feeling okay. We were there for each other, but we each have problems of our own. I am saddened by the fact that it's hard to find professional help these days, especially for students. And I think universities should take care of that as well.
Speaking from my experience, like from the same university, and I have to say that Carla's destiny at this university is also particularly challenging because the highest number of students who search mental health services are the students who actually have term classes instead of semester classes, because they simply have absolutely no time to rest. And as soon as you are done with one subject, another subject appears. And this is something that causes a lot of stress. And also it disables students to actually have, let's say, a normal student life. And we actually had this survey done, which stated that the mental health of students is deteriorating so fast that the student services could not cope with many more students coming in. So this was something that was particularly troubling to us, like just to hear that the large number of students, up to 3%, has suicidal thoughts. We actually proposed that more of the students' money that the students pay as an enrollment fee to their faculty actually goes to the mental health services. And I really have to say, as brilliant as that is, because the students are actually dictating what do they need, it's also quite shameful. And I really think that the institution is the one who should invest in their students. And also speaking from my experience from Italy, I also have to say that the mental health services are also quite invisible. Also, a lot of the times this information is not available in a foreign language. So this automatically means that all of the incoming students will not be able to use these services.
Is there a way how teachers can offer space or room in the class as well for issues such as mental health, which might help students as well?
When it comes to teachers, I believe that they keep improving our mental health in a way, because, for instance, every day before the lecture starts, they ask us how we are, whether we have any plans after the lecture, whether everything is okay, whether we need any help. I do understand that it's not the solution to all of our problems. However, when you think about it, it's nice to hear someone ask you how you are that day. I'm not saying that that's something we didn't have before. However, now more than ever, I feel as if it's something we need the most. I believe I speak for everyone when I say that it's quite nice to hear someone being so supportive, trying to take into account how you feel that day, and that it's sometimes okay not to understand everything or just to feel unmotivated sometimes.
It depends on the person and it depends on the professor, how much space will they allow for that. I would say the Croatian mentality is still stuck a little bit on, let's say, the tradition of education. And that's something that the students are fighting against usually, because it means very rigid, strict rules. Usually what happens, like most of my experience that I had, was that the professors would simply be, your lectures need to come first. Your activities or anything that you want to do in the free time, you have to sacrifice if you want to have a career here, especially if you're in hard sciences, because this will distinguish you among the colleagues. Sometimes you don't even notice this. And that's, I think, also the danger of mental health, because sometimes you might feel that you're completely fine, and then you are pushed over the ledge and you didn't even realize it. You just come to a breakdown very quickly. If it would be included, for example, if in the student assessment after the classes, where the student would be able to reflect properly on how was it stressful for him, was it not stressful for them, like the organization of the classes, this would be a tremendous help. And I think that also that's something that the university could benefit from, and the faculties could work more on creating a better environment for the students.
I have to admit that the professors were really, really approachable, and I would also like to thank them, because what we value the most is that human approach. A lot of us here are on our own in dorms or on our own in apartments. And then when you see a professor acting not only as your professor, trying to teach you, trying to prepare you for your future, but also as a guardian who is actually trying to help you in these hard times. What I value the most is the fact that it is not their job to do so. However, we were lucky enough to find professors who genuinely think of their students in that sort of way.
One question that arose was, what do you think? What skills could help or might help with coping with such a long lockdown that we now are facing?
I think that this lockdown has taught us primarily to be patient and, after all, to be appreciative of technology, as well as try and be more supportive. I think these are all things which are quite important, not only now, but will become important in the future as well.
I would add, from my perspective, I really think that staying in touch with each other, making as much as group tasks as possible, and just reaching out to people is something that I found extremely valuable for me during these times, because then it all seems real and you just get this feeling, okay, I'm not just stuck in this digital world. But I also kind of have to say that I have developed back pain. I really hope that also this is taken into regard when you are planning the classes, deciding what you are going to do, that you also make sure that you have time to really stretch a little bit and just think also about your physical health and not only the mental one.
It's been a hard year for students from Croatia, and we heard how important the subject of mental health is, but how seemingly small personal support can do a lot to people. We will also take a look into the future of higher education, and we will learn that the student perspective is a crucially important one.
Peggy, before you said that the way teaching is done right now digitally, it's not really being questioned. It's a way of doing it efficiently. So I wonder, how could a good way of doing teaching nowadays look like?
We saw that the use of more interactive methods is actually something that the students prefer, or giving students a task which include, I would say, different software, which makes it interesting for them to learn, but also allows them kind of to learn something new in using these materials would be something preferred. And what I'm really, really excited about, I think that this also opened to us as students more possibilities to actually participate at different digital events, because now they have become cheaper and it's much easier to share the knowledge. There are much more open publications, sharing open libraries. So a lot of possibilities are actually opening for the students and coming into contact with, I would say, also their international colleagues is something that's extremely valuable, but also something that will engage them with the community or also provide them with the possibility to develop new skills while performing tasks for the classes.
These days, we are stepping away from books. Somehow there is a pop of creativity all of a sudden, which is quite refreshing, to be honest. When you think about it, there are efficient ways of delivering materials to students, PowerPoint presentations, videos. I mean, this podcast, for instance, is one form of educating people, informing them about the situation somewhere else. Especially here in Croatia, I feel as if people were basically forced to have a new approach to, first of all, interest students into learning, and I definitely applaud that.
That was actually a good keyword. I'm interested in what you think that we should take as a learning for designing the future of higher education. How can we create an even better future of higher education?
The other day, our professor showed us an interactive video. She could have easily said, okay, read that in your books. So, you know, my job here is done. And somehow now, you know, I feel as if they are quite aware of the fact that there has to be a way of trying to not necessarily make us participate, however, encourage us to participate a bit more and to engage in all sorts of learning processes. This situation somehow sparked a bit of creativity, not only among students, but also professors.
For me, this question is actually quite painful because I hear it a lot. I have to say that not many things change in the way that probably we would like to do. I would say the most important thing I see could benefit the education of the future is recognizing that the students are stakeholders in higher education, because a lot of the times students are simply not recognized. We have stakeholders, which are higher education institutions and governmental institutions, and student is always being considered as a correctional factor for every decision that they want to make. And it's actually quite the opposite, because students want to be engaged in these changes. They want to propose these changes, but also they're quite willing to do the hard work, which we sometimes do not see in the other stakeholders, for example. So for me, the future of education would include students as a stakeholder. We really need to proactively engage our students and make sure to get their feedback, because although students are maybe an experience in some way, but they're the most willing to learn and they're most willing to develop. And I think we are just kind of stuck in this inferno of just decisions which are not being, I would say, student-centered, or the higher education for the purpose of higher education, not for the purpose of learning and developing an academic community for the future. That's why it's kind of painful for me, because this is also something that I'm working very, very hard to change.
It reminds me of one other student who said, like, okay, students, they are the experts. They are the experts of their own learning and study experience. And it's also really big change of perspective, like, okay, it's weird the way it works, I just have to accept it, or okay, this is my study time, so let's see how we can all get a good thing out of it and change it in a better way. When you look into the future, what do you think are the biggest challenges that students will be facing in the next years, even after the corona shutdown?
Sometimes I do feel as if I'm missing out on certain things. Of course, the aspect of social life in general, but also the academic purposes as well. You know, I spent almost my entire first year at home. I did miss out on certain lab practices and all of that. It will be a bit harder to try to connect the dots at some point in the future. However, I am positive that all of my colleagues and I will be able to succeed and to catch up with everything, to put it that way.
This gave also an opportunity for the educators to have a little bit more flexible way of working, which I think is quite positive. But it also gave the students the opportunity to also be kind of a little bit more flexible. So it would be really good to see this in the future. And I'm also kind of on the point of sustainability, looking forward to what new programs are going to come, because a lot of people are actually talking about what new changes are going to happen, how more sustainable world we will have later. So I really think that there's going to be something exciting on this level as well. And I'm quite like looking forward to this as well. It's not strictly related to higher education, but I think also a lot of higher education experts travel a lot and they need to kind of do these evaluations also on the side. But I have to say that I'm excited, because I think at least the digital part will look a lot better in the future.
Yeah, I think we all agree. If you could, are there any recommendations that you have if we see this whole situation as an opportunity for an ideal future of higher education?
I would strongly advise people to, you know, not put aside technology once all of this is over, because we really, really managed to do so much. But also we should all, you know, pay attention not only on learning, but also on ourselves, because I suppose we've all learned a lot about ourselves during these hard times, especially about our emotions and how we feel. So, you know, I think we should bring all of those good things into one and make use of it.
What I would like to see is the end of the internationalization at home, because it's not actually a mobility for the students and it's not completely immersive. So it would be really, really nice to see this completely end, just be a bad memory, and really to make sure that our international students have the same opportunities as the students anywhere, and also the possibility to learn about the culture, to understand a little bit more. And also on this topic, when we are discussing these competencies of professors when using another language, it would be really good if this would actually be checked, because just creating different programs in English language to make sure to attract new students to the universities, and then not actually making sure that the professors have you know, black on white, I would say, accredited competencies. Yeah, but in general, I'm hoping that we will be more open to each other and appreciate our time together more.
What we're doing right now, it's kind of our international experience that we can have right now. It's great that we can at least have that thanks to digitization, that we can talk, yeah, from different European countries. But as you said, some of the very special points about European higher education is also those great programs we have where students can travel and study abroad. So let's hope for that to come back. We're steering towards the end. So a little challenge. We already talked about what the ideal future higher education could look like. Can you try to find three words to describe the ideal future higher education?
Definitely interactive, approachable. And what would be the third word? Fun. I know it might seem odd, but I want a bit of fun. This has genuinely been quite challenging. However, fun seems to be something I lack the most these days. And I can assure you I'm not the only one. I'm certain that after all of these adjustments, we can somehow manage to make learning, make studying somehow a lot more fun.
That's great. I really love the fun part. Yeah, I would describe it to kind of go with what I said before. I would really love it to be student-centered, and I would also like it to be more flexible to change, to criticism, to new opportunities. But also something that I would like to see is for it to be positively challenging in a way that it will kind of create the drive in us to strive for more, to do better. So I really hope that it will bring us this as well.
I would also like to thank you for including us in this, because it's nice to be heard these days. Truth be told, I'm happy about the future. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to new things. All in all, I'd like to say that I'm grateful for trying to figure out how to learn in a different way. So, you know, it wasn't always easy, but I think, you know, we've managed.
For me, what I would like to share is maybe one experience that I had. It was on the first wave of COVID. It was an initiative from the Croatian Students Council, where they actually managed to get more than 4,000 volunteers all over Croatia to create this protective face shields for the medical staff. So I was thinking it's such a simple project, but in the end, it grew so big that even like the government really wanted to continue working on this project. And there was actually a company from Croatia that took over this project from students and started actually producing these face shields. I remember I was behind my computer like from 8 a.m. in the morning until maybe 2 a.m. the next day. And like we would barely sleep. But it was such a warm experience, such a supportive feeling as well provided by this community. And I really, really gathered the importance of students and the student movement and the impact and the productivity they can have. I also realized the importance of such student projects and how often we neglect volunteers. Yeah, I think we really need to validate this. Also, there is something about the way in which the student can really form their path. And I can truly say that this was really, really important for me. And I really feel that I have learned a lot there. And it also creates some competencies. So I would say, yes, let's value our volunteers more. Let's do it through micro-credentials. Let's make sure that their education includes these experiences, because this is how we create a stable academic community and a really, really reputable one. So yeah, I really, really wanted to share this because it was the best experience in my life, and it actually happened during the COVID times.
Next Normal, We Study at Home is a podcast produced by the Next Education Working Group around Ulf Daniel Ehlers, Patricia Bonodo and Laura Albrecht from the Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany, strongly supported by the ESU, the European Students Union.
Next Normal, We Study at Home.
Normala budućnosti, obrazovanje iz doma.